I'm going to be reading Matthew 18, 1 through 14. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "So who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child and had him stand among them. "Truly I tell you," he said, "unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses will inevitably come, but woe to that person by whom the offenses come. If your hand or your foot causes you to fall away, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to fall away, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hellfire. See to it that you don't despise one of these little ones, because I tell you that in heaven their angels continually view the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If someone who has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave 99 on the hillside and go and search for the stray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over that sheep more than over the 99 that did not go astray. In the same way, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. If your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he won't listen, take one or two others with you, so that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. If he doesn't pay attention to them, tell the church. If he doesn't pay attention even to the church, let him be like the Gentile and the tax collector to you. And, yep, that was a little bit more than what I had. But, yep.
That was okay, Jonathan. It was only you and I that knew that you went to a fire. Well, welcome to each of you this morning. We indeed heard a lot of prayer requests this morning. And I specifically had Jonathan read that portion from Matthew, Jesus speaking, and how Jesus was so concerned, and I hope you caught that, for the little ones in our midst, that no one would do anything against them that would be distasteful or wrong or wicked. And Jesus said it would be better that a millstone were hung around that person and he drowned in the depth of the sea than to hurt one of these little ones. And you just have to wonder why these things happen in people's lives. And it all goes back. I guess the class downstairs looked at it last week. We looked at it this week. When Adam and Eve there in perfection, total perfection in the garden, succumbed to the invitation of Satan to partake of that tree that was forbidden. And oh, what a mess the whole world was thrust into. But I want to encourage all of our hearts this morning in knowing that Jesus said, there will come a time when I will do what? Make all things new. And we look forward to that time. I'm going to be looking at Luke chapter 15 this morning. You may turn there. And while you're turning, I'm going to ask you this question. Is there anyone here who never lost anything? I don't see any hands going up. So you know what it is to lose something. Actually, my workday glasses somehow disappeared this week one morning. It must have fell out of my pocket. I don't know. So I always have a pair at home if one of them disappears. I only really need glasses for reading and close-up work, reading and writing and so forth. I did manage to write up a couple orders that morning without glasses, and I asked the lady that writes up the orders, prints up the orders there. I said, can you read that? She said, well, yeah, it looks just like always. I said, well, I did it without glasses. So anyhow, I've done this before, and sometimes they turn up and sometimes they don't. So far, they haven't turned up, but I always have a spare. So we're going to be looking this morning from Luke chapter 15 about things that get lost. And I'm going to read, and you can follow after. Starting at verse 1, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And of course, this next verse, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one which is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, or pigs. Some of you may not know what swine are. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Though these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me even a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." I want you to think in your hearts this morning, what do you think God, our Heavenly Father, whom we have never seen, what do you think he is like? What is God actually like? Now, the Bible says there in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, the Bible tells us even Moses there on the mountain had this intimate conversation with God. And yet he never saw God. He just heard his voice. God is that awesome. So what is your understanding of God? Well, Jesus came as a representation to us of who God is and what he is like. And so this morning in this story, I want to concentrate mostly on the latter part of this story. All of us are sinful creatures. And yet, back in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees, who were so against the way Jesus handled sinners, thought they were so much better. And yet they were just in the same boat, and even worse, to think that they were actually the ones who killed the Son of God. Masterminded the whole plan. And yet Jesus came to this earth to let us know what God is like. And so we have, I know this is a very familiar story, and many, many parents, I think, were in the same place as this father, where their children just turned their lives back from all that they've ever been taught. And I hear on the radio people talking about, they thought they had their children taught, and yet they went off, maybe went to college and lost all that they've ever learned. So that's the kind of world we live in. And so this certain man had two sons. And for one reason or another, this younger one decided he had enough of pop, he had enough of home, he had enough of farm work. He wanted what was his portion of the inheritance. Now, we know from Scripture, back in the Old Testament, that the oldest son would have gotten two-thirds of his father's possessions. And so the younger son would have gotten only a third. But he divided to them. When it says them, that's plural. So he divided his livelihood with his two sons. And the older one got his double portion, And the younger one got his portion, and he soon then departs for a far country. And we know from this story that he wasted his portion of his father's inheritance and spent it all in a far country. It's ironic that one day his eyes were opened. He came to himself, the Bible says. But even before that, after he had lost everything, he went to hire himself out, and that didn't go well either. Can you imagine a Jewish boy who despised pigs having to feed pigs? So one day, as he was out there in this pig pen, he got to thinking, and he thinks, you know, at home, even the hired people, the hired men, get treated much, much better than I am treated. I will go home. I will tell my father I have sinned against him. I don't know if mother wasn't living or not. She's never mentioned, but he was going to go home and say he had sinned against his father and against God. He's not worthy to be called a son anymore. Just make me one of the hired servants. I wonder how many days the father walked out this long lane. I picture him in my mind to see if he sees his son coming. I don't think it just so happened this one day he took this walk, but I think many, many times he took this walk out his lane. This one particular day in the distance, he sees someone coming. And it seems to me that he knew it was his son, and he runs. And the son runs toward him as he sees his father coming, and they fell on each other's neck, and the father kisses him. And the father says, you know, or the son says, you know, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. This son was indeed lost. And now he's been found. And so the father has a celebration made. He brings him a robe, dresses him all up, and they kill the fatted calf. And everyone is merry because the son that was lost is now found. That's a beautiful story of reconciliation, forgiveness on the part of the father. And before we get to the older son, just stop there. Keep that in your mind. And we had in our lesson for this morning that God, our Heavenly Father, as he looked down on this sinful world, said, I'm sorry that I have made man. They have made such a mess of things. And yet the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And for 120 years, I think the Bible says, as Noah was building this ark, also it states that he was a preacher of righteousness. He was telling the people, and probably a lot of them even worked for Noah in building this ark, had a chance to go into that ark and be saved, and yet were glad for the money and ridiculed him as they were working. This guy is crazy. If you go down to the Creation Museum, you will see Noah's workers talking about this foolish old man building this big boat that he calls it. And you must remember, up to this point in time, there was no rain. The ground was watered from a mist that came up from underneath and watered the earth. And so everyone was lost in that flood, except those that were safe in the ark. Everyone. And yet God gave them 120 years to repent. Now we come to this older son. And when we go through this, we have to wonder who really was the one that was lost in this story. And what does it mean to be lost in our relationship with God? Well, the older son comes near and he hears all this commotion. And he wonders what's going on, and they tell him that your brother has come back, your dad has killed the fatted calf, and they're having a big celebration. And he got very angry. His dad went out and tried to talk sense to him. And you know, what he said was true. He had given, as I read earlier, he had given this son his portion. So this son owned everything. If he wanted to have a celebration, all he needed to do was go out and kill one of his own calves. It was his. And have a celebration with his friends. Now he says, this son of yours, he went out and consumed everything in sinful living, although this was just the object of his mind. He didn't know where his brother was. But doesn't it come across that he's thinking, I am much, much better than my brother? And yet you don't see it that way. He's telling his father. Oh, I think this speaks to all of us. And I don't think it's any more brought out than in the story of Jonah. Jonah thinking that he was much better than the Ninevites. And there again we see, I'm hope you've been thinking about your concept of God. And God came to Jonah one day, he said, you know, these Ninevites, I'm just fed up with their evil. But I want you to go to preach to them. Of course, we know the story. Jonah takes off the opposite direction and boards his ship and heads the opposite direction. And in the midst of a very violent storm, the men in charge of the ship said to Jonah, who are you? Well, he said, I'm a Hebrew, which means I'm one of God's chosen people. And I worship the God who created the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them. That's who I worship. And the Bible says that these men were extremely frightened. And Jonah told him, he said, you know, I'm the cause of your conflict. So you can throw me overboard and everything will be okay. And the Bible says, now here was Jonah. He was not the least bit concerned about the Ninevites. And yet these men, the Bible tells us, they were not God-fearing individuals, but they were so convinced that the storm that they were trying to ride out was because of Jonah and his going the opposite direction of what God told him to do. But they were concerned for Jonah. They did not want to throw him overboard. And they tried to do the best they could. And finally they said, we're not getting anywhere. And so they threw Jonah overboard. What happened? Everything got calm. Now, Jonah said that he worshiped God, the creator of everything. I don't know if he ever thought about it or not, but God stilled the storm, stilled the sea, stilled the waves. God prepared a fish. Jonah, in the bottom of that fish's belly, cried out to God. God caused the fish to vomit out Jonah on dry land. And Jonah thinks now he better go and do what God told him to do. So he goes to Nineveh. I didn't search how many days was it? Does anyone know offhand? Yet 40 days, I believe. And Nineveh shall be destroyed. And God so worked by his spirit in the hearts of these people that they repented. Even the king put on sackcloth and ashes. And when Jonah had made his march all around the city, then he went and sat down outside the city, where he waited to see if destruction would come. And he was very despondent. And so then God prepares, and it was hot, and God prepares a plant to grow up to shade Jonah, and he was so happy for the plant. And then God prepared a worm to eat away at this plant, and it withered and died. And Jonah was very despondent and angry. And God said, "Are you right to be angry?" And Jonah said, "Yes, I have a right to be angry." And God says, "Jonah, all these people in this city don't know their left hand from their right hand, and also the cattle. And you're angry because I haven't destroyed them? They've repented?" Jonah somehow just is a carbon copy of that elder brother. There are some people in this world that don't have a right to be brought into the family of God. They don't have a right to have their sins forgiven because I'm better than them. So back to our parable. Who is really lost in this story? I think most of you here this morning know what it is to be lost and to be outside the fellowship of God. Because it is his spirit that strives with us and speaks to us about the need of repentance and putting our faith and trust in him. So if you're here this morning, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you're here this morning and you're lost and you're outside God's family, he continues to speak, and there's no one. There is no one in this world who is outside of God's love. We may have gotten quite upset the last couple of weeks and all the stuff that we heard in the news. And we think, how can people be so out of touch with reality? Really. And yet God's spirit continues to move in the hearts and lives of individuals. Personally, I think this is one of the most beautiful stories in the Bible of God and his redemptive love shown out in Jesus, which was so portrayed by this Father. And yet he pleads, as God with Jonah, pleads with the older brother to understand what's happened here. Your brother was lost. You've not been lost. You were always here. You're always by my side. Shouldn't it be right that we rejoice and be merry for the one who was lost and is now found, who was dead and is now alive again? Lost, now found. We hear many stories of people around the world, people not brought up like we were, people who have done some terrible things in their lives and yet have come to faith in Christ. And our Heavenly Father welcomes them all into his family. Those who forsake their sin and ask for forgiveness. So this whole story is about being lost and then being found. So if you are here this morning and you're in that state of being lost, all you need to do to be found is say yes to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for you sending your Son, our Savior, to this world. And how he didn't care what people thought, but he laid it on the line, what was important and what was not important. And Father, we thank you so much for the things he taught that are recorded in your word. And this beautiful story of one being lost and then found, because he came to himself and realized what was really important in life. I thank you for each one here this morning. I too want to add my blessing and prayers on those in our church family and those related to those in our church family who are going through very tough times right now. Just be near them with your love and your mercy and your care and your protection, and give grace where grace is needed. We thank you so much, Father, for your love for us and for the fact that to be part of your family and to call you Daddy Father was because of the willingness of Jesus, our Savior, to come and shed his blood, to open up the door into the sheepfold, into your family. And we pray it all in his name, in Christ's name. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and dominion, glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Go and God be with you.